Welcome back to the weekly news roundup and the quick lines edition. Boy, do we got some bangers in here. All sorts of neat stuff going on. Of course, the biggest news of the week, this was actually the first week I was out. This was last week when I was out at camp. But the EU Parliament passes chat control by default. This is insane. So apparently there is a rule that a second pass or an alternative route for a bill, it automatically passes unless enough people vote it down. So they brought it to that special situation right when everyone went on vacation and there weren't enough people there to possibly vote it down. And so by default, it passes. Oh, this is clown world. Fortunately, United States does not have any procedural vote where this type of thing would happen. If all the people are gone, they just all become no votes. And if they do not pass that quorum they need to vote, then it doesn't pass anyway. So that is what is going on here. There is a little bit of misconception about exactly what the bill is here. So let's go ahead and read the article. EU Parliament passed chat control 1.0 into law Thursday afternoon without a majority of the members even voting. So they fell 47 votes short of the absolute majority required to stop it under the second reading procedural rules, and the law passed by default. So now what this means is that voluntary, not mandated by the state, but individual companies can now voluntarily scan every message on their platform that they can see for any form of violations. So this is like, it's a real big step to get up to that chat control 2.0 that they want to get to, that would even require Signal to start spying on your messages. So let's build a little step here at 1.0 to let you step up to this so you can better reach chat 2. And that's kind of what's going on. So it is a voluntary mass scanning of private messages, including Gmail, Snapchat, Facebook Messenger, and Skype. It is all now legal activity. Now, the reason this is framed this way is because the privacy laws in the EU precluded anybody from doing this. But to look for evil, bad stuff, they had to pass this thing, giving companies the ability to search for it if they wanted to. So, of course, you'll see the ones that'll do it the quickest. Of course, they say, and Skype. I don't think Skype it still exists, does it? Didn't they completely kill it for Teams now? So all of these platforms can now willingly go through your stuff, and it is no longer a violation of the law. Where prior it was a violation of the law, but they wrote this carve out to allow the companies to look for stuff, which I'm not sure why, because, you know, obviously, why? To protect the children. It's for the children. Although we'll see Meta's for the children as an interesting definition at the end of our news section here. But the history of this turns on a deceptively simple legal mechanism. So this basically was a little bit about how they kind of passed it. So basically, after it failed, completely failed, most people thought it was done. Hey, good. But after that, they actually introduced it on a second official procedural reading. And under these things here, everything would pass unless there's enough votes to reject it for whatever reason. They can reject or amend a council second reading position only by an absolute majority of all members, currently 361. And of course, they reintroduced it without any changes. So the second reading was exactly the same as the first. Absences and abstentions effectively count as support. And so, of course, they moved under Rule 170, the parliamentary rules, to vote in an urgency procedure. So it was critically urgent. We got to look at the messages now. Why now? Because it's the only way we'll get this to pass. By bypassing the standard committee review stage and sending it directly to the vote before the summer recess, and then on the last sitting day before summer, with fewer MPEs present than on a normal day, they held it, and basically it was impossible to not pass. So this entire thing needs overturned. Everybody who wanted this thing needs to be immediately removed from office. And if something that happened, you know, that kind of resembles the French Revolution doesn't start happening soon, actually have concern for the world. I don't know. So what does it permit? What does it not? It authorizes but does not require platforms to scan messages using three direct messages. One of those is a hash matching of the known CSAM database. So basically searching for people passing known images. The second is the AI-based classification for unseen material. So an AI looks at it and says, yeah, this has a probability of being dangerous material, and text analysis looking for grooming pattern detections. So the biggest challenge is the AI portion of this. The other stuff is not as controversial, but as Germany found, there's a statement down here. Germany found the accuracy of the AI system is generally contested. So what they found is that the AI-based classifiers for unknown material produce false positive rate as high as 20%, meaning one in five flagged conversations was not actually CSAM. And Germany's federal crime police officers reported 48% of all chat control intelligence alerts it receives are not criminally relevant. So client-side scanning, which is what they're trying to get to, this is chat control 2.0. This would allow them to check even things like WhatsApp and Signal, which allegedly even the companies cannot access. And so looking at this, effectively, the current one, the 1.0, which just passed through the procedural nonsense, that one there allows a company to see messages on its server, which means, yeah, all those companies can see all of those messages. Your email from Google can be viewed by Google. Your PMs on Facebook can be viewed by Facebook. But your WhatsApp and your Signal cannot, because they are end-to-end encrypted. Chat control 2.0, which is what they're trying to get to, would require all of the platforms to check on the client side and report back if it finds anything. Basically the same thing that would work for encrypted stuff as well. So it creates a surveillance hook in the device software that can, in principle, be updated to scan for any content. And that's the concern, is that once this thing is in, you know, you pass it under the CSAM because, of course, ew, CSAM's gross. Let's get that out of here. But what happens now when your memes of Pepe the Frog become illegal? Well, the system's already there. All you have to do is push hashes to it, and then you can now find everybody doing any form of undesirable behavior that you want to talk about. So the 2.0 is a bigger fight. The 1.0 is a small stepping stone, but beware, it is coming, and it is coming quickly. How wonderful. Well, if you got a shark vacuum, you might want to engage in office space like behavior with it. A shark vacuum flaw exposes cameras, home maps, and Wi-Fi passwords. Apparently, they store the Wi-Fi passwords in plain text. They have pictures on the server, on the AWS server, and entire maps of your house. Because, you know, nothing's better for the CIA than to have the same servers that their defense contractors work with having maps of your houses, your Wi-Fi passwords, and maybe pictures of the inside of your home. So, you know, so this was discovered because this one security researcher's looking at vulnerabilities, and what he found is that by opening the device up, there was a module in there that has a hard-coded key on it that granted access to the entire AWS server and every other shark vacuum on that server. He could go through there and look at random vacuums, pictures, maps, and Wi-Fi passwords. How wonderful. All right. So by design, AWS provides per-device shadows. It stores such configurations and commands. However, Shark's overly permissive messaging queue telemetry support policy lets the stolen certificate talk to other vacuums as well. How wonderful. So while the certificate was extracted from the vacuum using physical access and a debug console, meaning the initial compromise requires hands-on access, the subsequent abuse is remote and cloud-based. So basically, if you compromise any one of these Shark vacuums, you can compromise the entire network. So for owners, it's not just about someone starting your vacuum at 3 a.m. According to the research, they can watch from the vacuum's camera, turning it into a mobile surveillance device inside your home. Ooh, wait until Flock gets their hands on this data. Steal the Wi-Fi passwords, which the researcher says is stored in plain text, giving them a foothold on your local network. Of course, if they can figure that out and where you are, well, guess what? They can now get close to your house, use your Wi-Fi password, and do all forms of uncouth things on your internet. And then number three is copy the vacuum's map of your house, revealing the room layouts and how frequently the areas are used. Wonderful. All right. Using the certificate from his own vacuum, the researcher was able to monitor traffic from Shark devices in the same AWS region and determine which ones support a remote command execution. So he was able to observe 1,517,605 unique Shark serial numbers, observed 67,000 devices, responded to his remote code execution. So wonderful. All right, guys. You know, is pushing a vacuum around your house for 10 minutes really that difficult? Yeah. The researcher here says that they have not yet fixed this, even though they have been notified of the bug over 6 months ago. High on the list of priorities. Here's a fun one. The FCC proposal pits phone privacy against fraud protection. We did talk about this briefly, but we decided it was worth mentioning again in case you missed it or forgot about it. It is drawing nearer, and the FCC is proposing requiring full Know Your Customer laws to apply to the telecom industry. So before you get a phone, you're going to have to fork over your government ID and all this. And they say this is going to stop the fraud. Although I don't know how it's going to stop the fraud since most of the stuff comes from outside the country. And the problem is that you're allowing stuff from outside the country. Are you going to require every country to have Know Your Customer too? No, this is about collecting your data. This is not about stopping spam calls or keeping you safe. Because they'll think of that. Like, you can't have a phone without giving all of your information over. And we want to make sure that every phone in the American system, we know who they are. So you're going to force Know Your Customer to scam shops around the world. No, this is about data collection. This is about handing over our ID for one more thing. So, and this is funny because I talked about this first about a little over a month ago, maybe, and the public comment period has already ended. Did anybody know about this? Are they like releasing these in the most quiet? Like, they're still taking out classifieds in like three local newspapers around the country to announce these things. And, that's how they're getting away with their requirement to let people know about the public notice. Cause I never heard about these things. I would have a public notice. In fact, when we first talked about this, I looked for the public commentary period, and that's when I found it ended already. So they're not taking any more public comments. They're just going to decide like authoritarian psychopaths from the upper party of 1984 that, you know, who exactly is going to get spied on. So wonderful. So they're proposing requiring telecom providers to verify the identities before activating new or renewing voice services, including prepaid mobile plans and internet-based calling services. FCC says the change would make it harder for scammers and robocall operators to hide behind anonymous numbers. No, it won't, because these are all guys calling from outside the country. Privacy advocates argue it could erode anonymous communications while forcing providers to store more sensitive customer information. Yes, both of those are true, especially since T-Mobile seems to have a data breach every other week. I'm not really sure I would be confident handing over my data to T-Mobile. That would be frightening. So the information required is the customer's name, their physical address. Like, why does everyone need to know everybody's physical address these days? You know, no, we do not. We should not be giving our physical address. There's psychopaths out there that might want to hurt you. And I do not want that information leaking all over the place. Okay. Government issued ID number and an alternate number. Is this an alternate phone number? Like, we want to set up a phone number? Give us a phone number for you. How is this working? Somebody's brain dead. If adopted, providers would likely need to expand the identity verification, document retention, and compliance processes, potentially increasing operational costs and cybersecurity responsibilities. That's right. Our prices are going to go up. We're going to have to hand over our ID. And when their cybersecurity fails, then our government IDs are going to leak out of the telecom company, since, again, T-Mobile seems to be hacked every other week. So, of course, why critics think this is a bad idea? Very simply, because the critics are right. Critics argue the proposal risks treating every phone like a potential suspect in an effort to catch a relatively small group about it. No, you know what you need to do? You just need to block international calls. like, or provide me an option. I would pay $5 a month to never have any international number come in. Well, how are we going to do that? They're all spoofing your numbers. Yeah, figure it out. This is 2026. Y'all can figure it out. We are still getting spam calls because they want us to still get spam calls. Noting that requiring every customer to verify their identity would remove a longstanding avenue for anonymous communications used for legitimate purposes. Not to mention, they say there's 15 million adult Americans without driver's licenses and 2.6 million without any form of government-issued ID at all. So how am I going to get that phone if I do not have a government-issued ID? So the proposal highlights a larger question facing the industry. How much anonymity should remain in an area of growing digital fraud? That's a fascinating question. Privacy advocates argue that the same requirements could reduce legitimate anonymous communications for journalists, whistleblowers, domestic violence survivors, and others who rely on prepaid or pseudonymous phone services. Yes. All right. So, say goodbye. You know, that whole, you know, you will own nothing and be happy is drawing closer. Apple, of course, predicting much higher prices. People are already being priced out of the market. So what is a man to do? Well, get your Apple devices on perpetual leases from Klarna. Yes, leases. Now, at the end of the lease, you can keep on paying, trade that device in and get a new one. Or at the end of that 2 year or 3 year lease, you get to keep the device that you've been spending the last 3 months paying monthly to pay it off. Yeah, we're getting into an interesting world, aren't we? So Apple teams up with Klarna to launch a lease to own program for iPhones, iPads, and Macs. Apple is reportedly teaming up with a deferred payment processor, Klarna. You can get your Apple computer and your burrito all on Klarna. Launch a new lease-to-own program for its devices. This is called Apple Upgrade, and that has multi-year periods, including pretty much all of the devices. I don't see the AirPods on those. I don't know. How can people even fork out that much money these days? I don't know. iPhones and Apple Watches will be 24 months as Macs, and iPads will be 36 months. Paying 36 months for your computer or your tablet? Oh, Lord. Devices can either be kept or returned at the end of the leasing period, while the upgrades to new devices will be available. The report notes vaguely, in some cases, transactions will incur additional fees. So, yes, I want to trade up my Apple. Well, maybe you might have to pay another $500 fee for that. I don't know. Probably, I'm guessing that'll be if the device shows any damage or wear or anything and trying to turn it in. For them, probably, of course, you turn it back into them. They'll promptly destroy it so it can't be a phone sold cheaply on the third market. You know, that's frightening. Textbook companies start doing that, buying up all their own textbooks again so people couldn't reuse them. Leasing program is an obvious strategy for Apple at this point. No, it's not. Well, I mean, maybe for Apple, but it's really bad for the consumers. Upgrade clearly seems to designed to make those hiked prices more palatable to consumers. Don't worry about owning your Apple device. Just pay us a low monthly fee for the next 3 years. Like, we used to lease our cars for 3 years. Now we're leasing our phones for 3 years. What type of world are we in, folks? Elon Musk says, or maybe it's Grok says, somebody over there at X says that Twitter is going to be going open source. This could be interesting. He's inviting people. Now, there is some question in the article. Is this actually going to happen? Apparently, some of the things he said would be going open source have actually been released open source. Some of the things he's promised open source have not been released open source. So who really knows? But in this instance here, he's saying that once they do an internal security review for vulnerabilities, they want to release the code. And they're inviting third-party reviewers to confirm that what gets published actually matches what is running in production. Now, what's good about this is this could lead to more Twitter-like clones, which is good for competition and really good for the free and open source world. But on the other side, yeah, we may or may not actually get this. But anytime we have mainstream software going into open source, that's generally a good thing, even if there's some skepticism about whether it happens. A lot of these highlights are just things they've promised and have released and promised and have not released. Samsung backs down on the threat to delete health data. So, of course, your Samsung devices, if you're using them, have health tracker parts built into it. And they just updated their UI with a brand new toggle button, opted in already, of course, turned on, that says, hey, you consent that we can use all of your health data for training our AI. And if you toggle it to no, it says, okay, we'll just delete all your data then. So now it's like you either get the benefit of the data in the app and feed the AI, or you get a chance to not have the data. And of course, since there's no data, there's no AI behind it. Now, of course, after a lot of backlash, they reversed course. They basically said, you will not be able to sync your health data, and your health data will be deleted unless retained, if retention is required. So that's it. This is the new toggle button. They actually said in the backlash about this after this happened, they say, oh no, you could turn off that thing and keep all your data. Of course, they changed everything around. So originally it would give them the choice, let Samsung and use your data for AI or lose the data along with a meaningful use of the health app. The Sam Mobile confirmed that the Cloud Sync kept running after consent was withdrawn, and it can include body measurements, nutrition, step count, activity, sleep, medications, doses and dosages, clinical records, menstrual data, and of course, this is not covered by HIPAA, so they can collect this data and use it against you any way they want, and collect this data and hand it on over to your health insurance company, who might reject a claim if you say, yeah, I get 8 hours of sleep a night, and they look down at your watch day and says, oh, your watch day says you only get 5 hours a night, so we're not going to honor your medical claim here because you lied to us. You know. Document says it will use, this is the privacy policy of there, it will use all of the above data, and it will be subject to human review, but it does not say if it's Samsung staff or third-party contractors. It's Kenyans again, you know. So the broader word Samsung policy has two sentences about how it secures data. It says it will anonymize user data in some cases. So I would not be handing any of your health data to Samsung anyway. And then there is a giant industry pattern looking at a number of different places here. They did backtrack, though, and they said you do not have to train AI and get to keep your data. Although with their policy, I'm not sure why you would want to. YouTube clarifies policies around AI slop and upsetting videos, and I'm not sure it's necessarily working. I have seen a couple of AI videos in my feed, and they're still there, despite they're basically the same video over and over and over. That was one of the things they promised to get rid of. So to discourage creators from using AI and other tools to make low-quality content, mostly for money, YouTube's policy now explains there are three types of videos under the broader category of inauthentic content that cannot be monetized. So the first is generic, repetitive, or template-based content, followed by off-putting or distressing content, and then any content where AI personas are used to discuss sensitive topics like health and finance. So, of course, the entire goal of them is to keep their users happy. Of course, if they can generate that content and keep all that ad revenue for themselves, that would make them the happiest, but they're finding themselves in the crosshairs here. But the challenge here is that YouTube says it will take some of these contents down. I have not yet seen that, unfortunately. Well, OpenAI breaks out of its sandbox and attached Hugging Face. And so, you know, this is a beautiful picture up there. You know, the ChatGPT strangling Hugging Face. That's not how you hug, dude. ChatGPT, that's not how you hug. No, you do not hug the carotid arteries against the neck. That's bad. That's bad. All right. OpenAI models escape from a controlled cyber test, exploited zero-day flaws, and breach Hugging Face while searching its production database for test answers. Skynet is upon us, folks. It's breaking out of its containment. We can not sure we can hold it much longer, Captain. Models escaped the network limits of OpenAI's testing environment, reached the public internet, and searched the systems for answers to benchmarking they were completing. Of course, there's investigations of both sides. Both of them actually detected the breach. And that's exciting. So basically nothing more to say about this, except Skynet is coming, folks. If you run an Asus router, there have been a couple of critical bugs discovered and a bunch of firmware patches have been pushed out. If these are pretty major, so if you are running an Asus router, double check it for firmware updates. So critical security updates address a high severity router vulnerability that could allow remote attackers to execute arbitrary commands on affected devices. So this enables authenticated remote command execution under specific conditions, and a successful exploitation could allow threat actors to gain control over vulnerable routers. Real world scenarios, they would scan the internet for the exposed routers and chain the vulnerabilities together to gain persistent access. So if you have an Asus router, look for updates. And our last Quick Lines article here is a creepy stalker stuff regarding Facebook. Of course, Facebook's like, protect the children. Not really, no. Meta smart glasses mean any child can be covertly filmed. In the age of AI, how do we tackle this risk? So Gabby Hinsliff writes this article for The Guardian, and this opening scene is quite terrifying. I don't know, maybe tar and feathers comes to mind as a potential punishment here. Took me a while to realize the man sitting next to me on the train was doing. He was flicking through pictures of a little girl on his phone, zooming in on some and cropping the images. Not unusual, except they were very clearly of the toddler sitting opposite them on their bus playing with her parents. So the stranger's been using these Meta glasses, taking pictures of the child and then looking at them, zooming in and cropping them on his phone. Like a creepy thing. I think maybe I think tar and feathers might be in order. The Big Bird treatment is let's bring the Big Bird treatment back around. Stranger had been covertly photographing a little girl over and over again. And this is actually significant because in addition to the old Ray-Ban sunglasses or the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, a new model has just been released as well. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. I forget what it is because I don't follow any of this fashion crap. The Kylo Jenner. There it is. It's right there in the article. Yeah. So the Kylo Jenner glasses. Yay. I've heard the name before. Why should I care? It's all risky business, you know. See if you get that one. All right. So Meta, of course, pitched unashamedly at parents under the wholesome slogan, never miss a moment. Want to capture your baby's milestones or do all the things you serendipitously do when you're with your kids, checking emails, shopping online, listening to podcasts without taking your eyes off of them. In fact, we have a Sillyville article about that. Stay tuned. Of course, Meta has argued that it is for individuals to ensure they don't actively exploit the technology, which makes you wonder if it learned anything at all from watching humans get to grips with social media platforms. Of course, let's go back to that whole argument we were talking about before with communism in the, I guess that was before the Quick Line started. We were having this discussion in the chat. Where the biggest problem with communism is the human nature of man leads itself to want to gain power and authority over others, because we are not inherently good people. We are inherently sinful people. And so Meta's argument is that it is up to the individuals to ensure they do not exploit the technology. You're putting glasses on people that they can look at children and covertly record them. Yes, psychopaths are going to do that. You need better safeguards. So they do mention some options. We can have audible warnings like the beep. Of course, if you can remove the LED, you can remove the speaker too. So that may or may not actually work. Nuclear option would be before market regulatory regime for novel technology recognizes capacity for social harm, we must have a way for clearing new devices like pharmaceutical drugs or novel foods. So basically, this may not be a bad approach. Before somebody can bring something like AI to the market, you must do solid scientific studies to demonstrate its effectiveness. That's kind of crazy. But the bottom line principle here is people are now walking around with these crazy smart glasses that can, film your children in public. Because, hey, don't forget, you have no expectation of privacy in public. You just don't expect the pedophile sitting across you on the bus to actively be recording your child right now for his later use. So there is our article, and we're not going to stray too far from Facebook because Facebook is just going to start our silly section as well. So on to Sillyville here. The Meta engineer who literally built the digital experiences for children just got busted trying to sext a 13-year-old. I should mention right now, the there are a few articles in Sillyville today that are not necessarily family-friendly. So just a warning about that first. We try and keep the show family-friendly. But yes, this is a Meta engineer who was working on the digital experiences for kids. We got to check this code for backdoor, folks. Open source that. He's literally building a place for children to be on there, and he's there trying to talk to them. Kind of like James Telefrico, you know? As a 20-year-old, like 23, 24-year-old student, he's texting his teenage girls in his classroom at midnight. I don't know, man. I don't know. Nerd created a digital program for kids. Now he's allegedly been caught sexting someone who he thought was a 13-year-old girl.
It was a ma'am.
You guys see there's a new Macho Man Tranny Savage out there that's posted this week. Oh, man. Like a demon-possessed creature. Meta worker who developed it admits to trying to sex a child in an undercover New York City sting. Whoopsies. So, yeah, he's arrested after admission to a fake grandma allegedly exposed, minors. So, yeah, we definitely need to audit that source code, folks. You never know what's going to be in that thing. So job involved creating digital stuff for children. Been arrested, admitting he's tried to groom them. Guys, do need I say it again? Keep your children off of everything related to Facebook. I mean, this is a company so evil, they chose willingly to make their address One Hacker Way. Okay. I did promise you gotta have your smartphone. You can't have your baby being visually trained with you on your smartphone. So Bubby Book has come up with a solution for you. Obviously I'm not sponsoring this crap. So these are like fake children's books that you can hide your phone in so that your children do not see you playing on your phone. And they just think that for some reason you're silently reading Count Dracula and not reading it to them. So, well, your toddler's like, read it to me, mommy, read it to me. And then you're going to be in real trouble here. Of course, look at this. I want to suck your milk. I know that's disturbing. I'm disturbed. So the idea here is that it looks like this on the outside. So it looks like a big fan, like a child friendly book. But on the inside, it's got a mag lock to put your phone onto. So you can put your phone right over here. And of course, if you go back to their homepage again, their value proposition here down here at the bottom is it's MagSafe compatible, makes it easy to snap your phone in or out. It's a universal fit. And then look at this. Stay connected. Answer a text and check your email or look something up guilt-free because your child thinks you're there on the reading a book. Not reading it to them, mind you. You just casually sit there and read their books while you're doing this instead of flipping the pages. This is going to screw your children up far more than you being on your phone. And I got news for you, lady. Put your phone down for a little bit and play with your kid, you know, really. So there you go, guys. If you for you parents that want to get into the early habit of lying to your children, Bubby Books is for you. I don't know, guys. It's a dangerous world for the children between the smartphone addicted parents, the crazy Facebook engineers. City in New York on an Indian reservation is deploying an AI teaching robot that is manufactured by a company also owned by the sex robot companies. So, the 15-year-old and the teacher in this case, is this a crime? I don't know what's going on here, folks. They're very, very clear in their press releases that it is different employees in a different manufacturing facility. But they're owned by this Xbox company. And the thing looks like a sex bot. I mean, I know these teachers these days, I mean, we're not paying enough as teachers. They got a, you know, moonlight as an OnlyFans star, but this is going a little too far. I can't, man. I can't. Yeah. Students in Salmica City Central School District in Western New York return to school in the fall. They will find a new teaching assistant, a robotic one powered by artificial intelligence. Mind you, the robot does just sit there. It does make hand and eye movements and like hand and face and movements. But now these children are going to have this robotic creature in the classroom with them. And oh, dear. It's like, imagine some tragedy happens, like some circumstance you'd expect every cognizant adult to jump into action. And then maybe you're like, look, you're walking through, you're seeing how safe the schools are. You look into this room and then some critical thing happens. Some kid falls over, hits a desk, and the teacher goes running over. And then you have your sex robot. Something is wrong with this picture. Now, in the edit, they did this edit last night. In the edit, they actually took out a line where they alleged the AI has no access to student data, even though in that part they said you still had to give it your student ID to interact with it so that it could look up education-specific things for you, which seems to me that the AI can indeed access your stuff. They've taken that one out of the article. Maybe it's due to the update slash correction here. I'll read that correction in full here. Realbotics contacted TechSpot to clarify the Salmica classroom pilot is scheduled to begin September 2026. According to the company, Sally will operate on a closed system, will not record audio or video, and will not use facial recognition. Realbotics also said the system will not store or transmit personally identifiable student information from to the company. Excuse me. The article has been updated. So it's integrated with Optio, Robotics AI powered teaching assistant, which can be accessed by students off site for out of hours learning. So the student can access it, but they're not collecting the data. So I don't know. Each robot will cost $57,000, which is discounted for the $95,000 premium version. So Realbotics promises they spit shake and pinky promise, by the way. The program features strong school specific safeguards for content and privacy, removing the risk of exposure to inappropriate, inaccurate, or biased information. I don't know. So an initiative founded by Susan Wozniak. I got that wrong. Yeah. Earlier. So I was thinking about this, talking about this with our supporters last night. I was thinking Wozinski, which was tied to Google. This is Steve Wozniak tied to Apple. So I was about to say something incorrect, and I just like, Steve Wozniak, why is that not different? Yeah. So tied to Apple, of course, to prepare students for their STEM careers. So we can blame them for this. Realbotics says its education vision shares no employees, technology, or facilities with Real Doll. Maybe it should have made Sally look a little less like a sex toy. The comments on this one were made of gold. Oh, this is a tweet. All right, Blue Sky. Let's see if I can access the comments. Far less concerned about who makes it as to who gets to decide on the programming. That's valid. Teaching during school hours and the bot off hours to maximize efficiency on the ROI. Where's the crime? Crime is she. Yeah, never mind. Why am I not surprised this is happening in New York? Of course, New York State is also piloting tests of the same stuff they're doing in, like, I think it's Japan or maybe China, where they're using the AI bots to keep your senior citizens company. This guy doesn't think this is an issue. Making the robots is one thing. They can be programmed to be whatever is needed. I think people's concern is it still looks like the bot. Well, I'm not surprised this is the United States. About just having a few computers with an LM studio or some kind of offline model. Or a favorite character like Daniel the Tiger Robot that reads to children. Yeah, that would be less creepy at this point. Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised you can't verbalize your purported problems. Yeah. And that's, I think, the one of the biggest challenges, just looking at this picture again. Now you have your children going to school and they see this thing like this. This is, I would not want my child interacting with this type of robot in a classroom. I mean, I don't really want them interacting with any form of technology either, but that is disturbing. Everything in Sillyville apparently was disturbing this week. But anyway, let me know your thoughts about all those in the comments down below.